Welcome to the August 5th, 2007 morning worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's sermon is presented by Reverend Raymond Smith and is entitled, Priceless. Today we also celebrate the baptism of Keaton Huff. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now for our worship service.
Welcome you to College Park Baptist Church. My name is Jeff Allen, Associate Pastor of Students and Families. If you're a guest with us this morning, we are glad that you are here. Whether you're a member or a guest, we would like to find out who is here. There are pew pads on the inside out of every pew. We invite you to take those and to fill it out, members and guests alike. Put your name down and check the appropriate boxes and give us the right information and send it to the end of the pew so everybody has a chance to fill that out. And then when it reaches the end of the pew, if you could send it back where you found it, that would be helpful so that our ushers can pick those up at the end of the service. Thank you for helping us with this. Several announcements this week. Things that are going on in the life of our church. It is children's celebration today, so we want to invite all of our children to leave during hymn number 248. God our Father, we adore thee. Just head out these doors. We're going to go to Smith Hall for time of children's celebration, and that is where parents, you can pick up your kids at the end of the service. Want to say a big thank you to all the people who helped with Vacation Bible School this week. We had a ton of people. We had over 60 preschoolers and children, and then we had a ton of adults that were in Bible study or helping. Or if you had any part with Vacation Bible School, would you just please stand right where you are? If you served, if you taught, if you played music, I mean, it's just served in any way, I want to say a big thank you, and you deserve a great big round of applause. Now, she's lucky I didn't have her down here make an announcement this morning, but Miss Lori Jackson is up hiding in the balcony, but she was our director this year and did a fabulous job. And Lori, we are very grateful for all the work that you did. Had a lot of phone calls from Lori Jackson this summer. That was fun. So we had a great week of Vacation Bible School, and we had planned to finish that week with a pool party that we invited the entire church and all the VBS people to, but Town and Country got struck by lightning. So we're not going to the pool this afternoon. We have rescheduled that pool party for August 19th. So that will take place then. So make those changes for 2 weeks, and everybody in the church will be invited to Town and Country on August the 19th. We'll put more details in the newsletter to you. So that means we will have life here in Smith Hall at 7 o'clock tonight. We're asking all the people who normally help set up, if you could be here at 5 o'clock to help us set up Smith Hall and put the chairs out. Very simple. And then at 5:30, we ask for U-turn to be here to rehearse. And then at 7 o'clock, you come and be a part of the life service tonight. Next week, we are having a big Sunday afternoon. We have a wedding shower for Cindy Johnson. She will take all kinds of gifts, cash, credit card, you know, anything at all. Cynthia Ryder has been organizing this and wants you to RSVP to her. It's men, women, children, pets, everybody's invited. No pets. Men, women, and children are just fine. It's not just the ladies' shower, it's for everybody, so we want you to come and to support that next Sunday afternoon from 2 to 5 in Smith Hall. And then at 6 o'clock, we'll have our Mountain Outreach service where we celebrate our mission trip to Kentucky. So we hope that you can come and be a part of that. This Wednesday, we continue our In a Word series. It is cake night, and if you're going to make a cake to share on Wednesday night, we ask that you call Gene Hobson or Sarah Talley to help out with that. That'll be a good time together Wednesday night. Or if you have questions, you can ask them as well. Let me see. I think I've gotten all the announcements. We do want to say a special welcome to our guests this day. Lots of things going on in the life of our church. We have ushers who are coming down the aisles now to tell you a little bit more about College Park. If you're a guest with us this morning, we ask that you just raise your hand as the ushers are coming down the aisle. They have a packet of information they would like to give to you. Just raise your hand. They'll be glad to give this to you. Inside you will find a letter from our pastor, as well as a little bit of history of the church and what we stand for in our story, as well as a newsletter that tells you what's going on in the life of our church right now. We are blessed by your presence this day, and we hope that this hour of worship will be a blessing to you. Today is a great day. For many reasons. We are celebrating baptism today. We're also celebrating the Lord's Supper. But it's kind of a bittersweet day because today is the last day for our summer interns. Sarah Patterson and Brent Hobson have been working for the past, for all summer long. And, today is their last day. I need to, y'all come on forward. Come on. I can't tell you what a joy it's been, to work with these two ladies. They are gifted of God, and they have been working so hard. I took the summer off, so I needed interns to make sure that the work got done. I play Xbox all the time, so it's good to have interns. They have done an absolutely fabulous job of spreading the love of Christ with the children and the teenagers in our church and in our community. And I am very grateful to stand beside them, and I'm honored to stand beside them. And I think, ladies, that our church is so much better because you were here this summer. Thank you very much. And a side benefit is being able to make fun of them all summer. So that was always fun. It is good for us to be together today to celebrate people being called to ministry, as we see in Bryn and Sarah, to see people who are committing their lives to Christ, as we see in Keaton, and for all of us to remember what Christ has done in our lives through the celebration of the Lord's Supper. It is a good day. It is a day that God has blessed us with. You will find in your bulletin a responsive reading that we begin our hour of worship with. We call it the invitation to share in worship. This responsive reading comes from Psalm 107, verses 1 and verses 4 through 9. I invite you to stand now for our responsive reading. I invite you to read the dark print aloud as I read the light print. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
His love endures forever.
Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away.
Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress.
He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle.
Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things.
Amen. You may be seated. Will you pray with me? Father, we do stand amazed in your presence. We are overwhelmed by the goodness of your grace and the power of your mercy. And so, Father, we come into this place of worship because we are called to be here. The desire of our heart is to be in your presence, to worship and glorify your name. So let everything that is done in this place be done to glorify you and you alone. Let the desire of our heart be to be changed because we were here. Thank you for being with us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
This morning we come to the baptismal waters, and it's always a pleasure to come here because we recognize that as new believers are ready to publicly profess Christ, this is one of the first stops for them as they're symbolically buried with Christ in baptism and then raised to walk in newness of life. And this morning, Mr. Keaton Huff comes to follow the Lord's example in baptism. Keaton, would you come on down, buddy? I want to ask all of you that have been a part of Keaton's Christian education, whether it be keeping him in the nursery as a little tyke or teaching him in the music field or in Sunday school or discipleship or RAs, any of those parts of our Christian education, would you please join his family and friends in standing while his father delivers a charge to Keaton? Would you please stand?
Hey. Keaton, I've teased you before about how when you were born, I'd always wanted a little girl. And maybe it's because I know what I was like when I was a little boy. And I think you are a lot like I was. But I also told you that if they'd offered to trade you when they brought you out, that I wouldn't have taken them up on it. And I'm glad that I wouldn't have. God showed me that he knew better than me. And I didn't know what having a little boy could do for me and how much I could love you. Last summer, I picked you up from a week at camp, and the first thing you wanted to tell me was that you had accepted Jesus. And I bet you couldn't tell how happy I was that you were eager to tell me, because I'm not really Mr. Excitement. But I thought you'd be quick to join the church. I thought, you know, the next week or so you'd come up and join the church. But I didn't want to push you into it, and you took your time. But I know how intimidating it can be to walk down this aisle, and because when I walked it, I had to go down to my own daddy. And my daddy baptized me when I was about your age. And before that, the best thing that I knew about baptism was that after it was over, they drained the water out into the street, and we could float paper boats in it. But since then, baptism has become very special to me. It's a symbol of starting a new life with Christ. You don't have to be baptized. That it doesn't make the difference. All it does is make you wet. But the difference comes when you give your life to Jesus and accept him into your heart. But baptism is a beautiful expression of the promise that we make to Jesus. And we believe that that's what he did. And this is how he did it, as he started his ministry. Baptism is one of the things that makes us Baptists. It bonds us to Jesus, and it bonds us to each other. You began your spiritual journey even before you accepted Jesus as your Savior. All the Christian people who have touched your life here at church and elsewhere have helped you get to this point. I can remember very well the ladies, and maybe a few men, but they were mostly ladies then, that taught me Bible stories as a kid and led my choirs and did vacation Bible school. And you know, that's a long time ago, but I still remember it. And I recognize even more now how much they loved me, as I see the women and men here at College Park loving you. And it's the same love, because it's God's love. It's God's love coming through these people who just want to share it with you. So my hope for you is to catch what they have I want you to get it, to be that kind of person that knows God's love and just can't help but share it with others. The Apostle Paul wrote a letter to the church at Ephesus, and his words were addressed to the whole church as he expressed his prayer for those people that he loved. But I want you to hear these words as my prayer for you, and there's words from chapters 1 and 3 of the book of Ephesians. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all fullness in God. Keaton, your mom and I love you very much. And there's a whole church full of people here who love you too. And wherever you go and whatever happens to you, God's there to love you through it.
Keaton, because you've publicly professed Christ as your Lord and Savior, now it gives me a great deal of pleasure to baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Your mom and your sister are here, Keaton, and they want to present to you a candle. And that candle, which I want you to hang on to, put up somewhere where you can see it every day, is to remind us that as Christians, we should let our light shine before the world. Okay? Baptism waters are here. It's a challenge to us every time we see this baptism, to a reminder that we are to let our light shine before men so that others may come to know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Invite y'all to open your Bibles to the Old Testament of Hosea chapter 11. When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. But the more I called Israel, the further they went from me. They sacrificed to the Baals, and they burned incense to images. It was I who taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by the arms, but they did not realize. It was I who healed them. I led them with the cords of human kindness, with ties of love. I lifted the yoke from their neck and bent down to feed them. They will not return to Egypt, and will not Assyria rule over them because they refuse to repent. Swords will flash in their cities, will destroy the bars of their gates, and put an end to their plans. My people are determined to turn from me. Even if they call to the Most High, he will by no means exalt them. How can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, Israel? How can I treat you like Admah? How can I make you like Zeboim? My heart is changed within me, and all my compassion is aroused. I will not carry out my fierce anger, nor will I turn and devastate Ephraim. For I am God, not man, the Holy One among you. I will not come in wrath. They will follow the Lord. He will roar like a lion. When he roars, his children will come, trembling from the west. They will come trembling like birds from Egypt, like doves from Assyria. I will settle them in their homes, declares the Lord. And then from the New Testament in Colossians chapter 3. Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to you, your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but in Christ is all, and all is in.
Let us pray together. Father, as we bow in your presence, we can't help but be thankful as we have witnessed the proof right before our very eyes that you are working in this world. We see it in the baptism of our brother Keaton, who has been sealed by the baptismal waters, just as Christ did so many years ago. And we remember our own baptisms, and we are thankful for all the people in our lives who helped show us your love and your grace. And Father, we are reminded this day as we see two of our own experiencing called to ministry. We thank you for Sarah and for Bryn, and how they remind us that all of us are called to ministry. Wherever we go, there are people in need. And it's only your love and your forgiveness and the power of your restoration that this world needs. And we are all called to spread that word. It's hard to imagine how you love us this much. We are seen as priceless in your eyes. On this day, we come into this house of worship with many challenges and many things that are weighing on our hearts and our minds. Issues that face our city and our state, our country and our world. Loved ones who are sick, people at war, people suffering from disease. Wherever we turn, we see a need. Father, we pray that we would have the strength of conviction and the courage to meet the needs that you show us. You have blessed us with so much, and you require us to make a difference because you love us. Remind us of that, we pray each day. And we lift this prayer up to your throne of grace. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Pray with me, please. Father God, this morning we come to you with grateful hearts for the love that encircles us day after day. We thank you for the love of our fellow Christians in this, your sanctuary. We thank you for freedom of speech in this great country where we live. We thank you for freedom of worship and for security and for the wonderful blessings that enrich our lives. Give us open hearts, Lord, that we are ready to share these blessings and your love with all your children. Help us to be generous stewards of our worldly goods, and may we use them to spread your love in those in our church, in our community, in our city and in the world. We pray that you'll receive the honor and the glory for every deed that we do for you. We love you, Father, and it's our sincere desire to serve you in our everyday walk. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
I can see the world from there. I may never ride the waves and taste the salty ocean air, or build a bridge that will last 100 years. But no matter where the road leads, one thing is always clear. Up in the morning till I lay my head to rest, I feel you near me. You soothe me when I'm weary. Oh Lord, for all the worst and all the best, I am blessed. All along a road less traveled, I have crawled and I have run. I have wandered through the wind and rain until I found the sun. The watching eyes ask me why I walk this narrow way. I will gladly give a reason for the hope I have today. Till I lay my head to rest, I feel you near me. You soothe me when I'm weary. Oh Lord, for all the worst and all the best, I am blessed. You've given me joy, you've given me love, you give me strength when I want to give up. You came from heaven to rescue my soul. This is the reason I know, I know. I'm blessed for when I rise up in the morning, till I lay my head to rest, I feel you near me. Yes, and all the best, oh Lord, oh Lord, for all the worst and all the best, I am blessed.
When I see children and young people using their talent for God's glory, it just, amen. That's exactly right. I don't know if you've ever seen, you probably have if you've watched any TV at all, seen those MasterCard commercials that always end, the last word is priceless, you know? One of my favorites in that series features a fellow named Peyton Manning, and he offers words of encouragement during the course of that commercial. It starts like this. You see the scene of a restaurant, and this girl's walking through with a tray of food, and she trips and falls, and food goes everywhere, and the voice over in the background says, "Brunch, $30. And Peyton stands up and says, "Hey, that's okay, Wendy. That's a good carry. You're still the man. You're the man." And the next thing you see is the latte machine blowing steam all over this guy's face, and he falls backward in pain, and the voice over says, "Latte, $4. And Peyton stands there and goes, "Ooh, shake it off, Johnny. Rub some dirt on it." Yeah. The next scene you see is a piano rolling down a moving van ramp out of control, and then it crashes off the camera somewhere, and the voiceover says, "New piano, $3,000. And Peyton shows up behind the guys, and he's slapping on the back saying, "That's okay, guys. They're not saying boo. They're saying movers." And the next and the final scene that you see is a paper boy riding by Peyton's house. He's riding by on his bicycle. He throws a paper and it goes right through Peyton's front glass, front window. And the voiceover says, supporting your team, priceless. And Peyton says, hey, that's okay, Bobby, you still got the best arm in the neighborhood. And the last thing you hear is, there are some things that money can't buy. For everything else, there's MasterCard. Or how about the one where the elephant sees that his caregiver is feeling sick? And so this elephant goes in and he takes this guy's MasterCard. Stay with me. And he goes into town and he uses this MasterCard to purchase hot soup, $4. Cold medicine, $11. Blanket, $25. And then he goes back and he gives all this stuff to his caregiver, and the other animals help him tuck it in. And the last thing you hear is, making it all better, priceless. Now, I know it's just a commercial. I'm okay with that. I know it's just a commercial, but there's something very frightening about the fact that an elephant could take your MasterCard and charge $40 and nobody check an ID. I mean, it's just, you know, but the classic of this whole series, I think, was probably the first one. In the first one, you recall there's a man and his boy sitting at the baseball park, and it starts something like this. Two tickets to the home opener, $150. Two hot dogs, a big pretzel, and a baseball signed by his favorite player, $85. Spending time, a whole afternoon with your kid. Exactly. You see, the attractive quality of these commercials is that they seem to place our spending in perspective. Life is about encouraging one another, right? I mean, that's what Peyton's doing. And, you know, in the worst of circumstances, hey, he's still there encouraging. Life is about caring for one another. Providing love, like an elephant for his caregiver, whatever. You know, I mean, I guess that's the point of that one. And it's about spending time with your children. How to raise your kids. Spending time there with them. Right? And purchasing provides the means to those ends. So although you can't buy happiness, it can facilitate the deal. Right? I mean, who says that the abundance of our possession isn't what life is all about? Well, actually, Jesus did. Obviously, Jesus never had a MasterCard. Obviously. You know, in this week's gospel lesson, Jesus said, well, tell you what, let's read it together. If you'll open your Bible, it's in Luke chapter 12, verse 13. Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 13. If you didn't bring your Bible, I hope that you can find one in front of you there in the pew, if you'd like to read along. I'll be reading from the NIV, which is the version of the pew Bible there, from Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me to be a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And then he told him this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. And he thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." And then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and all my goods. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?' This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich toward God." Jesus said, for your life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. Now, the word "not" there is correct. It's correct. It does sound like something Jesus would say, right? And I checked with the Greek and all that stuff, and that's really what he said. It does not consist in the abundance of your possession. But as I live in this culture where obviously the object of living, And I look around me and I take an inventory of all the stuff I possess, or the people at MasterCard and Visa and I possess kind of jointly. You know, as I do that, there's this kind of a disconnect. This man approaches Jesus at the beginning of our lesson here, and it is not to facilitate a priceless moment. Precious, warm, fuzzy thing. That's not why he's there. I mean, evidently, his father is dead. And all the possessions have gone to the older brother, which is the way it worked during that time. And so this brother just apparently wants to dissolve his relationship with the family, take what's his, and hit the road. Sound familiar? Sounds like another parable, doesn't it? And if he could make an ad about this brother's life, it would read something like this: making a life for myself, half the estate, getting rid of my older brother, priceless. Okay? That's kind of his agenda. That's where he's going. Jesus' response, as we've read, was basically to refuse to be the one that would step into the middle of that thing. And instead of that, he says, look, kind of a rebuke. Let me tell you a story. And then he tells them a parable about greed, where the main character is shown to be a fool. And a question, of course, arises. Now, what makes this farmer a fool? He seems like a pretty reasonable guy if you look at him on the surface. To be honest, you read the thing, you think, well, you know, it doesn't appear to be that bad of a guy. I mean, here's a man who has wealth, but evidently from what we see there, he has sown his crop. There's going to be an abundance of the crop. He's taking good care of his crop. I mean, it's a biblical notion, right? You know, you reap what you sow, so what's the problem? He looks at this crop that he's going to have. It evidently is going to be huge. And he realizes, I don't have enough storage. I got too much stuff. I need more buildings to put my stuff in. And if I do that, man, I've got enough out there in the field. I can retire. I'm good. I've got it made. Eat, drink, and be merry is the way Scripture puts it. Is that foolish? Think about it. What do we spend most of our life at some level doing? You know, we're planning for retirement. We look around and we see, well, what decisions do I need to manage my portfolio to make sure that it survives the rocky market right now? What are we doing? We're planning for retirement. If this guy could have a MasterCard ad, it would probably read something like, seed for a good crop, 3,000 denarii, or something like that. Storage for that bumper crop that's coming in, a bunch more denarii. Being able to eat, drink, and be merry, priceless. That would be his commercial. So what's the problem with all of this? The turn in the parable comes when God comes to the man who is on the verge of stepping out into retirement in all of its fullness. God comes to this man and he said, this very night, your life is going to be demanded of you. Whoa, bummer. I made it this far. You got to be kidding me. Death speaks and the abundance is washed away. Death comes and prosperity, in a financial sense, is destroyed. So who's going to get the abundance, Scripture asks? Who will get the abundance now? Obviously not this guy. Obviously not the one who planned for it. There's no hint of family here. Matter of fact, the preponderance of the words like I, me, mine suggest that he's alone with his wealth. Some scholars suggest that if he had died and had no family, had no heirs, that it would go to the poor. If that were the case, the tragedy is that he could have lived in that kingdom while he was alive. He could have given out of the excess to help others. He could have made the world a little bit more like the kingdom of God, and in the process, robbed death of its power to rob him. Do you see that? I think that's what makes him a fool in Jesus' eyes. See, Jesus knows how the story's going to end. You know, the rich and the poor, it doesn't matter. He knows how it's all going to end. This man lived as if abundance was eternal. And that's what made him a fool. You see, it's a fool's game to believe that we can control the future by the temporary. It's a fool's game to believe that we can somehow show ultimate love through what we buy and possess. It's a fool's game to believe that what we possess can stand against death. So what's the point? You know, as I looked at this parable and studied and read, You know the guy that came and asked him the question, the guy that was the younger brother? I think the point of this parable is that Jesus wants him to go back and mend his relationship with his family, with his brother. That's the point. You see, the possessions don't last. What lasts? Relationships. Family. The love and the compassion and the encouragement that we show to one another. That is what lasts. That's what is priceless. Jesus said, take care, be on your guard, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. Jesus' word to us would be this, if he could make the commercial perhaps, setting you free from all of your possessions and making you worthy to live in the kingdom of God. The price that he paid on the cross. Getting to live free of death's strong word and in God's kingdom before it comes, priceless. Living a life free from the need to have to always produce good crops in a world that inevitably there will be some bad crops. Priceless. Living in a life free of worrying yourself so that you can tend to other people and their needs. And the example that Christ gave us. Priceless. Living a life that's rooted in the eternal nature of God so deeply that death cannot expunge all that you've worked for. Priceless. Living life in a way that robs death of the power to have the last word. Priceless. You see, what Jesus did on the cross was priceless. And our part in that is to remember that everything else that we see here is temporary, except for the relationships we have with one another. Follow his example. Care for each other. Lead others to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's what's priceless. And one way that we can refocus is as we come to the Lord's table. As we approach the table, I want to challenge you to examine your own heart. Examine your priorities. Have a moment of confession. Let God speak to you as we approach his table. Let's pray together. As we prepare for communion, let me say a word. We practice open communion, which means if you are a believer, we invite you to partake in communion as we share together. As Jesus met with the disciples, they knew that bread was what was necessary to sustain life. So Jesus said, this is my body that was broken for you. Take and eat. How do you feel when you get a second chance, a third chance, a fourth chance, a brand new start? Jesus said, this is my blood. And in this blood's a new covenant. A new covenant, a new promise, a new start. Praise be to God. Scripture tells us that following the supper, they sang a hymn and went out. This morning, I want to invite you. If you're here and you are not a believer, we want to give you a chance to respond to what you've witnessed in worship this morning. If you're not a believer, I'd be glad to talk with you about how you can receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you are a believer and just would like to come, the altar is open. Feel free to come and pray. If you'd like to share something with me, that's fine. But the main thing is to set your heart right with God this morning. Let Him use you this coming week as He would see fit to do so. Make yourself a clean vessel. If you would like to join this fellowship, we receive members in a number of ways. I'll be glad to talk with you about that. And we'll see about you being a part of this working body and be delighted to tell you about that. Whatever your decision is, we invite you to make that public as we stand and sing together now. Ask you, please remain standing. There's a covenant insert in your order of service. I want to ask you to take that. This is a time for us to renew. Sometimes we see someone being baptized and we think, well, what a neat time in your life. What, you know, a priceless, literally, moment in your life. And I want us to renew that covenant that many times we make with the Father. I'll be reading responsibly. If you'll be reading the bold print, please. Do you believe in God the Father? Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God?
I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He ascended to the dead. On the third day, He rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand.
Do you believe in God the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Christian Church, the communion of the saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Will you continue in the Apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers for each other and this new believer.
I will, God's help.
Will you persevere in resisting evil, and whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord?
I will, God's help.
Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ and be faithful to pray for those who are lost?
I will, God's help.
Will you seek and serve Christ by ministering to all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself?
I will, God's help.
Will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being?
I will, God's help.
These things we covenant together before God.
Amen.
Keaton, would you come up, buddy? We have a presentation here we'd like to make for Keaton to remember this day. He has his candle that he took out of the baptismal pool, and he'll keep that, and that'll remind him to let his light shine before men. But we also want to present to you a certificate of baptism, Keaton, and a new Bible. Hope that you'll read that daily. I know you're good about reading your Bible, and I think we could all learn a lesson from that, right? Okay. I want to invite you, after the benediction, if you would come by. I want to ask Beth and Robert and Davis if you would stand with Keaton here. And other family, if y'all want to line up, that's great too. We'd love for you to stand here with Keaton. And you come by and speak to him, encourage him. And in the days and weeks to come, pray for him. I know you will. I also want to remind you that Sarah and Bryn are going to be in the foyer out here as you go. Their last Sunday here as interns. I invite you to speak to them as you go out. We kind of separated the two here to where we can control the flow of traffic a little bit. So you speak a word of encouragement to them as they complete their duties here. But their heart continues to be with us. I know you know that. So let's pray and invite the Lord to be with us as we leave from this place. Dear Father, we thank you for this day and what we've celebrated here. And Father, we know that your Holy Spirit goes with us. And it's by the power of the name of Jesus Christ that we as believers depart from this place, ready to serve you, ready to love you, and ready to tell others about you. It's in Jesus' name that we do pray. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.